Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this day. This fifth Sunday in Epiphany, we're still in the season of Epiphany, but we're gathered here to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just want to have one announcement, really. We are going to be resuming our Bible study, or our midweek study. We're going to be meeting during the day. We've been meeting on Wednesday nights, but we're going to be meeting during the day on Wednesday. I have to think of the time that we'll be meeting, which is a time that everyone can be there. But our first meeting is going to be on Ash Wednesday. So we'll be meeting on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. We'll be undergoing an Ash Wednesday service. We'll be imposing ashes on foreheads, so come prepared for that. But we'll also begin our Lenten study, or six-week study during the season of Lent. But that will begin on Ash Wednesday, which is in a couple of weeks from now. But I'll have more information on that. But we'll be meeting Wednesday during the day instead of at night. So please be mindful of that. Also, go to our church webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our first reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. This is God's word for us today. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water, that sends out its root by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the mind and try the heart, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. And he came down with them and stood on the level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came forth from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you, and cast out your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. This is the word of the Lord.
One of the idioms coming out of early hip-hop was the idiom that said, keeping it real. Keep things real. The idiom has to do, of course, with staying true, staying authentic, staying grounded in reality. So it was always advised to those who were writing their verse to just keep it real, stay authentic, stay true to who you are, stay true to the community, keep it real. Of course, that's easier said than done. What's real in our world is often contested. How do we know what is real? whose reality or understanding of reality will prevail. Some of the early philosophers believed that we human beings can't in any way know what's really real. They likened us to people sitting in a cave with our backs to the entrance of the cave, and all that we are able to see are shadows against the wall. And so we have no idea what it means to keep it real. We can't see reality and can't really know reality. All we can know are the shadows. And so keeping it real is sometimes hard. What is reality? What's really real? Some people believe that what we do here every Sunday is not grounded in reality. They say that when we gather together to worship and to pray and to sing and to listen to scripture, that we are just wasting our time. That whenever we come to a place like this, we are simply engaging in a bit of escapism. And so they say you need to keep it real. All you church people, all you Christians, you just need to keep it real. But of course, we beg to differ. We beg to differ because we come here every Sunday believing that what we do here is indeed grounded in reality. It's grounded in a reality that is far more real than what our mixed up, confused world often believes is real. In other words, every time we come here on Sunday morning, every time we do what we do, that's what we're doing. We're keeping it real. That's what Jesus is doing in our gospel lesson this morning. He's keeping it real. You know, in Luke's gospel, this is not the Lord's first sermon. His first sermon was the one we heard a few weeks ago in Jesus' hometown when he got there, and we heard what he said, quoting Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free." And as we saw at that time, it kind of got Jesus in a little bit of trouble, but that's what he's been doing in the meantime. He's been doing exactly that. He's been going around curing people, healing them of their diseases. He's been releasing people from all kinds of unclean, demonic spirits. And people have come from all over to be healed by him. They've come from all over to be touched by him. They come from all over to hear what he has to say. They come to hear Jesus keep it real. And that's what he does in this sermon that we just read, that Lisa read this morning from Luke's gospel. Personally, I like Matthew's version a little bit better. Matthew's version is a little bit more lofty and spiritual than Luke's version. In Matthew's version, it's called the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is on the mountain. He's high and lifted up and elevated, and he's laying down the law according to his understanding of it. But Luke's version is a little bit more down to earth. In Luke's version, Jesus is at a level place. He's on a plane. He's looking people in the eye, which is saying something, and he's saying that I'm going to level with you. I'm going to keep it real. And that's what people are waiting for. That's what they're listening for. They're listening for Jesus to keep it real. Keep it real, Jesus. And so that's what he does. He begins this sermon, Luke's version of this sermon, Sermon on the Plain, Sermon on the Level Place. And he begins by saying, "Blessed are the poor." Not blessed are the poor in spirit like in Matthew's gospel. That could be any of us. It could be me. It could be you. That could be anyone. But no, Jesus just says here in Luke's gospel, "Blessed are you when you are poor." You know, the people we often judge and despise, the people that we often make life difficult for. The people we have names for, like losers, Jesus says they are blessed. In fact, the word here that Jesus uses, the Greek word is the word potokoi, and it doesn't just mean to be poor. It means the beggarly poor. It means the desperately poor. It means to have absolutely nothing at all poor, the no status, no anything poor. And Jesus remarkably says that these are the people who are blessed. There's a homeless man who sleeps on the church grounds. He's been here for quite some time. His name is Peter, but some of you know I'm bad at names. It may be Paul. But he sleeps on the church grounds, and I've tried to get him help. I've tried to get him in a shelter, particularly on cold nights, and he doesn't want to go. He refuses to go. He'd rather have his independence, and he has issues, of course, issues with alcoholism, and he doesn't speak English very well. And to tell you the truth, a couple of times when I saw him, my intention was to kind of run him away and make sure that he didn't wasn't able to sleep back there, but then I felt kind of sorry for him and just wanted to leave him alone, and he always says, thank you. But I always see him like I saw him the other day, and he was back there sleeping, and I thought, man, you know how horrible it would be not to have a place to sleep at night, not to have a roof over your head. Boy, I'm blessed to have a roof over my head and have a warm place to stay. But Jesus says it's people like him who are blessed. In some way, somehow, blessed are the poor. Jesus says, blessed are the hungry. Not just those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, but in Luke's version of it, Jesus just says, blessed are those who are hungry. You know, we live in a world where there are lots of hungry people around the world. Even right here in the United States, right here in Philadelphia, there are hungry people. We got a call a couple of days ago. A man was on the phone, and he said, I'm looking for the food for somebody who's hungry. They don't have any food in the house. It's an elderly lady, and she doesn't have any food in the house. And I thought, oh, come on, you know, no food? Got to have some food. He said, no, she doesn't have any food in the house. She's elderly. She's got glaucoma in one eye. She can't see. She can't walk. She doesn't have any food. And I thought maybe he was just pulling my leg a little bit. But turned out she didn't have any food. She had used up all the food that she had. She didn't have anybody. She was living in the house that she grew up in, the house that was her parents' house. She never married, never had any kids. Didn't have anyone. She was just there in the house by herself, and she didn't have any food. And I thought to myself, man, that's got to be a horrible situation to be in. Glad I'm not in that situation. But Jesus says that somehow that woman is blessed. Blessed are you who are hungry. Jesus said that all of those who are poor, all of those who are hungry, all of those who weep, all of those who are hated and despised, all of those who are scapegoated, all the kinds of people that we marginalize, all the kind of people that we look down upon, Jesus says these are the people who are blessed. And I want to say, come on, Jesus, get real. Those people aren't blessed, not in our world, not in our time, not in our society. Those aren't the kind of people who are blessed, but that's what Jesus says. He says, these are the people who are blessed. Blessed are you if you find yourself in one of these categories. Had Jesus stopped right there, of course, with the blessings, his sermon on the level place would have been incredulous enough. But of course he doesn't stop there, does he? He has some corresponding curses or corresponding woes, as they are called. We all know what a woe is. A woe is a warning. And Jesus says, woe to you who are rich and well-fed. Woe to you who are full and happy and contented. Woe to you when you are admired and respected, when everyone looks up to you, when you find yourself in positions of power, when you get to sit behind powerful people, when you're given powerful positions, when everyone thinks well of you, when everyone is admiring you, when you can do whatever you want. Jesus says, woe to you. And at this point, I want to say, wait a minute, Jesus. You can't be real. You know, you're talking about us. You're talking about many of us, Americans. You're talking about some of the people that we admire. You're talking about some of the people we look up to. You're talking even about some of us. The things that you mentioned are the things that we often pray for. They're the things we often strive for. They're the things we often hope for. What do you mean, woe to us? What do you mean, woe to the rich? What do you mean, woe to those who are filled? Get real. What kind of reality are you trying to sell to us? Well, that's a good question. For Jesus, keeping it real means telling us something about God. Jesus is trying to tell us what reality looks like from the perspective of God, from God's perspective. There was a strain of thought in Jesus' time, just like there's a strain of thought in our day, that says that if you're doing well, if you're well fed, if you are have all that you need, if you're respected and admired, if you're not hungry, then God is somehow blessing you. You know, kind of like the prosperity gospel. If you have everything you want and everything you need, then you are blessed. That's the way some people saw it. That's the way many of us see it today. And of course, if you are hungry and destitute, if you are sick, if you are despised, if you are maligned in some way, if you are a part of some community that people don't think very much of, then you were being cursed by God. And Jesus is saying this morning that no, that's not true, that God is not actually like that. God is not a God who is out to get people. God is not a God who is cursing people. God is not a God who is blessing those who are rich. That's not the way God operates. But God has a special place in God's heart for people who we tend to think of as cursed. And God has a special warning for those we tend to think of as blessed. Maybe because when we are full and contented, when we have all the things we want, that we don't have any room left for God, or at least we don't think we have any need for God. But Jesus says that if you have all you need, if you are rich, if you are contented, you're not blessed, but you're in great danger. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't try to tell us what to do in this sermon. He doesn't say, this is what I want you to do. He doesn't give us a list of do's and don'ts. Sometimes we like that, we preachers especially. We want Jesus to tell us what to do and to tell us how to do it. But Jesus doesn't do that this morning. Everything is in the indicative mode. He's just telling us the way things are. He's just telling us what reality looks like from the perspective of God. The point is not so much to tell us what to do, but it's about helping us to see God's reality, helping us to see things from the perspective of God, helping us to see things from the perspective of the kingdom of God, God's coming kingdom, the way things will be when God finally has God's way in the world. He's trying to get us, all of us, in that old dark cave to turn around and see the light, the radiant glory of God's light. Some of us don't really want to see things the way God sees things. We don't really want God's reality. Some people will simply say no, they don't want God's reality. And most of us, I suspect, will enter into it kicking and screaming. We don't want God's coming kingdom to in any way invade our world. We're comfortable with things just the way they are. But Jesus says that God's kingdom is invading our world. It's invading the way we live. And so Jesus is trying to show us something about God's reality, something about what the kingdom of God looks like. We're still in the season of Epiphany. We have a few weeks left, and that's what Epiphany is. Epiphany is the season of light. And that's what Jesus has been trying to show us. He's been trying to show us more and more of God's light, more and more of God's reality. This is what reality looks like. Don't let your understanding of reality be conditioned by what you see all around you. Don't let your understanding of reality be conditioned by what the politicians tell you. Don't let your understanding of reality be conditioned by what's being done to those who are poor and vulnerable. Reality from God's point of view looks totally different than our reality. I was talking to some friends the other day, and they were telling me about their work environment. And they were telling me how toxic it is on their job, a lot of competition, a lot of underhandedness, a lot of backstabbing, a lot of long hours, just a real toxic work environment. And I was asking them, how in the world are you able to continue in that kind of environment? And they said, well, I just stay grounded in reality. Just try to stay grounded in what I believe is really real. My family, my friends, my church, they said. And that's why we come here every Sunday, you and I. We come here to stay grounded in reality, to stay grounded in what's really real. It's not easy even here because sometimes we're scared to keep it real. Sometimes we allow the world's understanding of reality to invade even our hearts. Sometimes we too are people who say to the poor that they are cursed. We are people who hear the weeping and turn our backs. We are people who walk by the hungry. But Jesus says he's here to help us to keep it real. He's here to help us to ground ourselves in God. He's here to help us to understand that in God's reality, that all the people that we often malign are loved by God and cared for by God. And in God's coming kingdom, these are the people who will be lifted up. In God's coming kingdom, the poor will have enough. The poor will have all they need. And Jesus is saying that's God's coming reality, so you might as well start living into it right now. You might as well start orienting your life towards it right now. In God's coming kingdom, in God's coming reality, the hungry are those who are blessed. The hungry are the people who are going to have good things. So we might as well start living into it right now. In God's coming kingdom, the people who are maligned and marginalized and scapegoated are going to be the people who laugh and who find joy. And so Jesus is saying that's the coming reality, so you might as well orient your life and start living into it right now. And that's what we do here every time we come here on a Sunday morning. We are orienting ourselves towards God's reality, towards God's coming kingdom. We are conditioning our hearts to be moved and shaped by God's own heart. The heart that says, blessed are you. Blessed are all of you who can't find your way in the world. Blessed all of you who are struggling. Blessed is all of you who don't know how you're going to make it. Blessed is all of you who feel afraid and anxious and don't know where the future holds. Blessed to all of you who don't know where your next meal is going to come from, who fear that your medical aid may be cut. Blessed to all of you who might be deported. Blessed are you, because the kingdom of God belongs to you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come to you this morning, thanking you for your gracious presence in the midst of our lives, and thanking you for helping us to live into your reality. May we continue to see more and more of your light. May we continue to see more and more of who you are. May we continue to orient ourselves into the reality that you are calling us into, the reality of your coming kingdom. We ask all of these things in the precious, gracious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.